And he could go into this without a bronze helmet, without a shield, without a chest plate, and with what he does every day in his life, stones in his pocket, a sling in his hand. He does it morning to night, every single day. And David knew when nobody else on either side knew, this ain't got nothing to do with being 10 foot tall. This has nothing to do with the fact that David works out in a gym and he's ripped and he can lift 400 pounds. This has nothing to do with the fact that David was much beyond his years. This has nothing to do with the fact that David was the strongest person there. All of those things were probably not true. It had only to do with the one simple reality that David knew the God of Israel. And it didn't make any difference whether Goliath was 10 feet tall or 20 feet tall or 100 feet tall. He was going down. I'm going to use this story as a story for us, followers of Jesus. A story that sheds a lot of light as to how we function as a family of followers of Jesus. Oftentimes in churches, we think that because of the way churches are structured, there's a power base, right? That somewhere there's a group of, and in many churches, there, you know, there's someone or some group that's identified as having power. And oftentimes we get that idea because that's the way we function in the world. That's the way businesses function. That's the way the shipyard functions. That's the way the military functions. That there's somewhere in there, there's got to be some people who have power. And so in churches, we bring that mindset and we think of the way that we're structured and we think of the way that we accomplish things or that we engage in things, that we do ministry, and we think there must be somebody who is in power in the church. Let me flip this around. And with the story of David, and we could pick numerous New Testament stories and look at the life of Christ himself. David is just fun. Flip this around in your mind if you can. A New Testament church is not a gathering of people where there is a central locus or focus of somebody or somebody's being in power, directing and dictating and managing things that the church should do. As a matter of fact, Jesus, as the leading example of what power looks like, power is not stuff that flows to a group of people and they exercise power over other people. Power is that which comes from God and flows through people so that other people are empowered to do what they have been called to do. The difference is night and day. We don't have a system and we say, you know, this person is in power. We have a God who says, I will empower you to do what I have called you to do. And I will call other people to help equip you, to help encourage you, to help serve you, to help love you, to help you discern, to help give the word to you. I will call other people to do that so that you can be empowered to do what God has called you to do. That is an incredible, life-changing, transformational, turn the church upside down concept, as simple as all this is. You get the idea. We don't have somebody in power apart from Jesus Christ. We are empowered by the people that we have. We are unleashed by the people we have so that the power of God can flow through others to you. And then as it gets to you, guess what you do with it? You release it and flow it to bless the community, to bless a neighbor, to bless the family, to bless somebody who's down and out, to bless somebody who's hurting, to show Christ to somebody who hasn't seen him clearly, to give words of comfort and encouragement to people who are broken and down and out, to help people, encourage people, love on people, let people see Christ. And you're not just standing there. We're just not standing there saying, oh God, fill me with power so that I can have power. That is just foolishness, and it's arrogant and it's prideful. We are here to say, God, let the power of your mighty hand flow through us to our broken world. And that's where you find yourself, and that's when you're in ministry. Now, here's the thing, that's why people don't want to do it, because as soon as you walk out those doors, there's going to be a Goliath in your valley. And most people in churches really don't want to engage in ministry. They're happy to pay somebody to engage in ministry. They're happy if somebody else will do ministry. But a lot of people really don't want to get in a battle line and watch a 10-foot giant step out in the middle of their neighborhood or the middle of their culture or the middle of the news or the middle of the street or the middle of Charlottesville or the middle of D.C. or the middle of wherever it is. They don't want to have to face those kinds of giants. They'd rather say, you know, we got people who deal with that. Here's the good news of the gospel. You are the sons and daughters of a king, and he has called and is willing and seeking and has no problem unleashing the power through you that you need to face the Goliath in your life. Don't outsource it to somebody else. Relish in it and do what David did and say, all right, here is an opportunity for God's name to be lifted up and glorified. David didn't rush up to Goliath and said, hey, my name is David. I know you've never heard this name, but remember it forever. And by the way, you only have about 2 seconds left of your forever. David didn't do anything. He didn't drop his personal business card on the body of Goliath and say, for all those who come after me, they'll say that David has been here. It was all the name of God. And in our case, as followers of Jesus, it is lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus has no problem unleashing the power that is needed to engage in whatever the issues are in today's world. All he's doing is desiring to share that with those who want to engage, those who say, Lord, fill me with your spirit, those who say, I will lift up the name of Christ, those who will stand before the Goliaths of our age, the Goliaths of this year, the Goliath of our day, of our media, of our politics, of whatever it is, to stand before the Goliath and say, this isn't about me, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am engaging this world to bless people, to love people, to lift up people, to let Christ be seen, known, heard, and followed. And when you do that, you are engaging in the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing greater you can do with your life. Imagine a church, and there are a number. Imagine us being among them who, as a church family, stand up and say, we accept the challenge of the Goliaths of our peninsula, whatever and whoever they are. We do not back down. We are not fearful. The best, biggest, baddest team can show up on the field, but we've shown up, and it just so happens that the power, the game that we play, is in the name of Jesus Christ and his power. And we don't care how good the other team is, how well they hit, how fast they run, how well they field. We come in the name of a living God. And a 280-foot fence is nothing to a living God. Fast runners are nothing to a living God. Great hitters do not impress a living God. Fantastic fielders do not make God sweat one bit. When we engage and empowered to do ministry, life around you changes. And not only does life around you change, that's when the transformation begins to happen in you as well. We get it backwards. A lot of us are praying, God, change me. And that's a legit, I pray that. You know when that transformation happens is when you start playing the game of ministry. When you get engaged, the transformation comes because God is doing the work and he's doing it through you to bless his world or to reach somebody or to speak to somebody or to get somebody's attention, whatever he's doing. And do you know who gets changed? You do. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? In our church, we have a leadership team that consists of myself and Gabe, Wayne Blanks, Philip Jennings. And the leadership team, I mean, we almost fly under the radar because it is not our calling, it is not our desire. We haven't had one conversation, we haven't uttered one word about how could we be powerful at Ivy Memorial Baptist Church? That is so far off the radar because our calling and our heart and our conversation and our relationships are about what do we do? How do we serve? How do we love this church? How do we create a culture that empowers every person, that empowers you to do exactly what God has called you to do to get you in the game? And here's the thing about thinking that way. I don't care. I don't think anybody cares really what anybody's title is. Because a title does not give you power to do anything in that kind of a church family. A title doesn't make you above or below somebody. The only position of power in a church is the position of submission to Jesus Christ, and that's it. It doesn't make any difference who you call what, who gets elected to what titles you use for people. All of that falls totally irrelevant when the only power is the power of a resurrected Lord flowing through his redeemed people. And that's world changing. Imagine our church being that church. Our conversations leading us that way. The way we think about how we do things, the way we think about each other, the way we love on each other, the way we pray for each other, the way we accomplish, the way we move the mission forward, the way we respond to what God is doing. Imagine thinking like that. And the people that are in this room today, by the power of God, could see the peninsula flipped upside down because it is Christ released through us. A Christ, by the way, just to bring back to your memory, was risen from the dead. That kind of Christ. That kind of Christ who sent the Holy Spirit. That kind of Christ who started a movement. That kind of Christ who lives, who intercedes before the Father, and who's coming back. That's the Christ unleashed through us. That's empowerment. So let's discern together. What is God saying to us? Every ear, every heart listening, every voice contributing. As we discern together as a church family, you are empowered. What do you need to be encouraged? What kind of resources do you need for God to do what God is doing through you? What kind of training, if any, do you need? What kind of material do you need? What kind of things do you need? What kind of setup do you need? What is it that you need to accomplish that? And we're going to pull right in behind you. And if God is in it, we're going to see the giant fall day after day after day after day after day. And you'll watch Goliaths come down you didn't think ever had a chance of coming down. And you'll be empowered to do what God has called you to do. I want to ask you, if you would, to stand with me, please. And I'm going to pray. After I pray, I'm going to invite you to respond. And maybe you're in the discernment phase right now, listening to God. And you would just like to come and say, I just want somebody to pray with me about listening to God. I'm listening. I'm hearing. There's something whispering or banging or whatever, however it is God's doing it in your life. I'm getting something here, and I just want to hear God in this. Maybe you are at the place where there is a call. You sense there is a call about your life. And you're looking for resources, and you need direction, or you need prayer, or you need encouragement, or you need to get hooked up with somebody else or connected with somebody else who's doing the kind of thing that God is calling you to do. Or maybe you're already at the place where you know God has unleashed you. And you're standing in the face of a Goliath. And all you have is a handful of smooth stones in your pocket. And the name of a living God. I'm going to invite you to come. You can stand. You can kneel. I'm happy to pray with you. Just so you get to know our leadership team better. They're available to pray. Gabe is here. Wayne is here. If you want somebody to pray with you, it's Philip. I say, yeah. You just, that way you get to know them a little more. They'd be happy. They'd be happy to pray with you. Let me pray for you now. After we pray, we'll sing, and we invite you to come. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for a story that we have known and loved, delighted in, and cherished from childhood. Thank you for a story that is even greater than just a boy named David facing a giant named Goliath. It is a story about a living God, the God of Israel, the Christ of our faith, the living Lord, the one who is crucified, buried, risen, the one who's coming again, the one who's active in our world, the one who cares about what's happening in our world more than anybody else, and who's seeking to bring hope and goodness and grace and love to a very messed up, broken world. And Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Our empowerment does not come from each other. It comes from you. And so we open our hearts to encourage each other, to help each other discern, and to receive and to unleash the power of the Spirit through us to bless a world. And we come today to take that step forward, whatever that step might look like in our lives. We do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. You come. I'll be right here to meet you as you come.